business and with the decamp going on at the same time, so it worked out perfect. We want to do something towards the end of June, and we just scheduled this around the development camp to do it. And last year, the development camp, we did a few events, but not a luncheon. We just did some stuff after the games with ticket holders, and we're doing those again this year. But I think we figured out last year that fans enjoyed it and really connected with the guys, and that's an opportunity for us to get closer to the fans.
What's the impetus for this program that you just unveiled today?
Just what I said in there, just pretty simple. I mean, we want to fill the building with Senator fans, and to do that, we need to get the ticket base up. And we when we get the season seat base where it needs to be, we think we can fill the building with Senator fans on a nightly basis. And then the second part of that is just the atmosphere at the games, just to really have a special atmosphere and help the team, give them the crowd they deserve behind them for the games.
Even when Montreal
is coming. We can't default to the fact that, we'll do it for 35 games, we won't be able to do it for the other six. We'll have some other initiatives that we'll get going on Take Back the Bank, but the first step there, we really think, is having a big season seat base and just less tickets available for the casual fans from out of town.
It's something you've noticed
that from the building, right? Like you can't just stand.
We thought about it though.
It's something
we're not sure we can do that.
Some teams have gone the way of on their online ticket sales or whatever, going by IP address.
Yeah, there's a lot. We're looking at all that right now, James. There's nothing that's not on the table right now. So we're trying to figure out pretty comprehensive plan there, and that's one of the things we're looking at is his IP address is going to help us. And you can't do that forever though. It's a limited period of time where you'll maybe be able to go to the local community and say you can buy the tickets, and even then you're not sure that they're not getting scooped up by the other guy's fans. The only real way is to sell them to a season seat owner and ask him to come personally and use the seat, and that's the first step.
Do you find that the season seat owners are really connecting with the young players? That they like this whole youth movement?
Yeah, I think they like it a lot. I think part of the reason is that hockey fans in Ottawa and Canada are pretty smart, and they realize that if you're not on a youth program, if you're not on an elite team or you're not on a youth program, you're probably not on the right track. So we got a good thing going out there. Players and got some good prospects last year, and the group coming this year is probably even better than the ones we brought up last year. They'll push guys for jobs, so the future looks pretty good.
You talked about how accessible your ticket prices are, especially compared to some of the other Canadian teams.
Yeah.
Is it frustrating that you lag behind in season ticket sales from those other Canadian teams?
No, I don't think frustrating is not the word. I think we just got to do a better job and get the right focus, get the right plan, get the right packages. We do a lot of things right. So we routinely have 20,000 people in here on a nightly basis, and so we don't want to sound like we're complaining, because we're not. We just know that the gap, if there is one, in our ticket plan has been in season seats, particularly in small and medium-sized businesses. So that's really what we're focused on. We talk about B2B. It's a business-to-business, and that's not what we're going to sell exclusively, but this campaign is really targeted at 1,000 new season seats, 500 pairs to business in the lower 100, 200 level.
Given the prices are already pretty competitive, can you enlighten us a bit on what maybe some of the market-specific challenges are that you guys face?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a challenge. I think what we've seen the last couple of years that have really resonated have been, for the business user, an all-inclusive, so they can buy a package that includes dinner. So whether it's our Wisers Club or our Senate Club packages, they're buying a ticket that includes dinner. They like that, so we're going to do more of those this year. The payment plans has been something that's been helpful. So when you're able to go to an individual or a business and say, you pay over 12 months, they pay for a lot of things that way now, and just making it easier to do. That was new last year, a 12-month plan as well, and has been resonating. So I don't necessarily know if there's a big challenge that we're facing. It's just, you've got to make a lot of presentations, a lot of pitches to sell 13,000 tickets. You got to get out there, get at it, and we're out there doing it.
How does help bringing a Cody CC in the middle of the summer help create a buzz?
owners next year.
Yeah, I think that's kind of unexpected. We kind of circled on our calendar that there'd be sort of the draft, and that would be an event, and that'll give you a little bit of a push. But, you know, I think the fact that Cody was our first-round pick, certainly, you know, if guys were going to cover two pages of coverage, it was probably three or four or maybe five that, you know, certainly came out of that. And so that's been good. The important part, though, is that he's a good player, that he makes a team at some point and plays. I mean, so drafting a local guy is great, but as Pierre said, he could have been from Australia, we still would have taken him. At that spot, you got to make the right pick at that spot, and he was a guy we liked.
There's a possibility of a delay depending on the CBA getting signed. Is that a challenge for you when you're trying to sell tickets in the summertime? Or are there some people who are going to sit back and say, well, let's wait and see?
No, we haven't seen that. Like, I mean, we're selling pretty routinely 35, 40, 50 tickets a week. You know, it's been good. And continuing to do that last week was good as well. So far, there's been no real slowdown. And we're approaching things as business as usual. We're not where we were 8 years ago from a league and a business perspective. Don't need that type of correction or deal that we had. And we're pretty confident that something will get done, and so we're approaching from a business as usual standpoint.
The only thing, there's talk that the discussions or negotiations are going to beginning on Friday. Do you know anything about that?
So just know that you guys know that they're both saying sometime in the next week somewhere.
Yeah.
Do you know if your rookie bank camp is still on, the rookie tournament, is that still on, or is it on hold?
Don't believe we're doing the rookie camp, or the rookie tournament. So I think they decided not to do that, just from a certainty perspective. So, the training camp was moved back. Sorry, Rob, keep. Training camp was moved back a week this year, so it's the 21st or 22nd training camp open. So, we'll know if we've got an agreement done by then. And whether that's going to cause an interruption.
The season starts later too, isn't it? But the
first
game seems to me to be about a week later.
It's about 8 or 9 days later. Yeah. And I don't know if that was so much of a function of the CBA issue as just, I think most of the teams would prefer to start a little later.
Right.
Fewer games in October, November.
Yeah, especially American teams.
American teams. They want to get away from football, high school football.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, sir. Thank you. Yep. Thanks, guys. Okay.